You're listening to Girls Gone Wad. I'm Joy.
And this is Claire.
And you're listening to episode 19.
Yay. Almost, I always do that. I always say yay.
I know. You always say that. It's just the obligatory yay. Yeah, we're almost to 20. Can you believe we've been almost doing this for 20 weeks? We started this, what, in June? July?
I think like the very beginning. I think it was June. It was like maybe the second week of June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Claire's been seeing a lot of me lately. lot of joy time.
And, you know, and thereby extension, you have been seeing a lot of me. I haven't just been, like, snooping in your window at night.
Which you could.
I mean.
If you wanted to. We have big windows.
It's true. You do have big windows. You always have your big blinds down. I know because I stalk you.
I know because every time I drive by, your blinds are down and I can't see
it. That's creepy. No. This is a pre-record also for Joy's time and
yep. So when you guys listen to this episode, it will be I'll be home in 2 days, which is so weird to think about.
Yeah, we're talking to you in
the future.
We always talk to them in the future, though.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, actually, we do absolutely talk to them. 24 hours future. This will be 2 weeks future.
It's a big future.
So we're gonna try to
do our best. A lot of things are gonna happen in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
we're finally redoing our engagement pictures next weekend.
Oh yeah, November 1st.
Yeah, so by the time you guys hear this, we will have done that.
You're not really redoing them. You're just doing them.
Doing them
on the
yes.
right weekend.
We're driving out to Moab.
Moab trip part two.
Yay. I'm excited about that, though.
Yeah.
But, that'll be fun. And what else is going on in the next week's Halloween?
Halloween's going to happen. November's going to be here.
Election day is going to happen.
Election day.
Are you voting? Do you vote in non-presidential elections?
Yes. I already sent in my ballot.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah.
Let's see. What other interesting things?
Veterans Day is going to happen. Veterans Day is big. My dad's birthday. That's a lot going on.
My mom's birthday. My Nana and Papa's birthday.
Oh, I love that you call them Nana and Papa.
Obviously. My stepdad. So I have five nieces and nephews who are my stepdad's children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all tiny. They're all like, I think, 3 and younger.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are really young. And they call him Kapuna. Which is, like, Hawaiian for Grandpa.
That's adorable.
He's not Hawaiian, but...
Why did they start calling him that?
Because he wanted that to be his name.
I think
he thought it was a cool one.
That's cute.
Yeah, I thought...
That's
I think it's cute. Yeah.
That's
pretty cute.
So let's kind of talk future stuff. This is kind of weird to kind of be thinking way far in advance, but we're going to do our best. But something recently happened that I want to know about, Claire. And you took a twerking class.
A twerk shop, actually, is what it's called.
A twerk shop.
Yeah, so Beth, who we did the Girls Gone RX competition with, texted me and was like, backstory. Like a year ago.
We need a backstory for sure.
Like a year ago, Beth found this dance studio in Denver called Tease.
Yeah, I've
and
heard
it's
about it.
Yeah, and it's like pole dancing. She wanted to take a pole dancing class, so she found this place.
I have a friend who actually teaches or taught there.
Yeah, so we got a punch card. So she, Beth and her infinite wisdom talked me into not only going to a pole dancing class, but actually getting a punch card to this place for 6 punches. She was like, Claire, it's a great deal. I was like, okay. So we got a punch card. We went to the pole dancing class, and it was hilarious.
How many people are in the class?
Probably like the pole dancing class probably had like 10.
Okay.
So like it was pretty good. And
10 poles.
Yeah.
10 poles. Everybody has
pole. I had to share a pole.
Oh.
Yeah. So, everyone is like, pole dancing is like empowering. You feel so sexy. Like, it probably was the least sexy I have ever felt.
Yeah.
It was incredibly awkward.
I'm trying to so I envision if I was to go to a pole dancing class, I would feel awkward and it would be like, you don't want to do that kind of dancing in front of people.
See, that's the thing, though. That's that, like, everyone else is doing it.
Because you're just like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
everyone else is there, and they're like, all right, now just, like, grab your saw, and you're like, whoa. They're like, put your hands on your body, like, get all sexy, and I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with this.
Yeah.
But everyone, all these other girls are in there, like, okay, so I commented about this on our Facebook page, but basically the class composition looks something like this. It's like a third of people who may or may not be professional strippers.
Yeah.
Who you watch them and you're like, you do this a lot, don't you? Like a third.
They probably maybe have a pole at their home.
No, like literally.
Like Sandy. Sandy, our listener. Hi, Sandy. She said she still has a pole, which is amazing. If you have a pole in your bedroom.
Because also, it's hard. It's like really hard. Like that. Anyway, so it's like a third of people who look like they like are professionals.
Yeah.
A third, like us type of people who it's like we're not in it to like make a career out of it, but we're also not totally embarrassing ourselves.
Sure.
Like we're at least kind of in with
sure.
it. And then like a third of girls who seem to just have no idea where their body is in space. Like, so the girl I shared a poll with,
yeah,
was, I almost think she didn't know her right from her left, because they'd be like, all right, walk around the pole to the right, and she would like kind of look at me and be like, have to like tell her where to go, and then, you know, you were supposed to like do some things where like you kind of jumped up on the pole and wrapped one of your legs around it and then kind of like spun.
Okay.
And her only move was just like the fireman cling.
Like, cling for dear life.
Yeah, like, just like when you like slide down a pole in middle school and you're just like in a little ball.
Yeah.
And that's her only move was like she would like kind of like hop up onto the bar and just like,
whoo! That's cool, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know. And the teacher kept kind of coming over, and finally the teacher was just like, okay,
you go with that girl. Yeah, just whatever. You cling to that pole.
So we did that class. That was like last February or something. And then we took a couple other classes. We took this one class called burlesque, which was so fun. It was like this,
is that
like,
where you use chairs?
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to dance with a chair.
It was so fun.
I would love that.
Yeah, it was really fun. Although the beginning
part, I think of like Chicago.
Totally. Like, it was totally like that.
Yeah.
And the beginning part, though, was so hard.
Yeah.
Because the pole dancing class was like, you know, you kind of do a little warm up and then you kind of just like mess around with these poles. Because we were in like the intro.
Okay.
But the burlesque class was like a legit dance class where we had like the first third of it was just like this insane ab workout.
Yeah.
And so we were on the chairs, like doing like crunches, like with your legs, like on, like trying to balance on a chair.
Oh,
it was
so hard. So hard.
But anyway, burlesque was super,
how
super
fun.
And it was also like this really dirty Rihanna song.
Oh.
Which was always fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then Beth, but then we kind of like fell off the wagon. So we did like three classes kind of in a row.
You fell off the.
Fell off the pole, as it were. We did one other class. Oh, I can't believe I almost didn't tell you about this. We did one other class and it was like, it, you know, like some like cardio hip hop, you know, butt toning. I don't know.
Yeah.
All their classes have really funny names.
Yeah.
And.
Do you get shoes?
I don't wear shoes, but it's all classes are stiletto optional.
Okay.
And some classes are stilettos required.
Oh.
Yeah. I cannot walk in stilettos.
Yeah.
So I would need like remedial stiletto walking before I could do anything. Anyway, so we went to this one class.
Walking class before you can wear stilettos in class.
And so we were doing this one thing, and we were supposed to be like, doing like bent knee calf raises. So imagine you're standing like in a plie,
okay,
you know, and then you're like lifting, like going up on your toes.
Yep.
And we're at a bar on the wall, and we've been doing this forever, and everyone else was just using the bar for balance, but Beth and I didn't know that, so we were like hanging on the bar, and we pulled it out of the wall. Yeah, and only like one part kind of came out, but we were like, I think we just pulled the bar out, and the teacher's like, no, it's fine, and we were like, no, it's actually broken, and we went back, and it's still broken.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so that was us. If you've ever been a tease and you've been like, why is this pole out of the wall? That was me and Beth. So we went back. So Beth texted me and she was like, they have a twerk shop class on Wednesday and we have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, fine. So it was from 9 to 10, like super late. And we get there and it's same thing. Like, you know, you're watching these girls and it's like probably a third of them look like they are professional club dancers.
Uh-huh.
Like, these girls' butts moved. I just don't even...
You don't like, even know how they move. They have a mind of their own.
It was unbelievable, uh-huh, actually. It was, like, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like, there was this one girl... You know how sometimes people have, like, piercings in their lower back now?
Oh,
they're, no. Like, dermal piercings?
Oh, gosh.
Have you seen dermal piercings?
No.
Where it's, like, they don't go all the way through, but it's, like, what they do is, like, people get them everywhere. They, like, put an anchor in under your skin, and then you, like, put an earring in the anchor. So it's
okay,
like...
Okay, so it just is like a dot. It looks like a dot. Okay.
But girls get them in like their dimples and their lower back.
Owie.
So this one girl had that, and so she was like shaking her butt, and it was like flashing, because she had these like earrings, you know, like jewels in it. It was amazing.
She got like spotlights on her butt?
It was like a rave on her backside. It was amazing. Anyway.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I went to this class...
I feel so old right now.
So I went to this class not even knowing what twerking was.
Yeah, we had to have a lesson. Did you even Google it before you? Because we talked about it once on the podcast that you had no idea.
Can you imagine what would come up if you Googled twerking? I just didn't even want to go there. So I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to be surprised.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. Turns out it's just going in a down dog and then just shaking it.
Yep.
Like you mean it.
Yeah.
Like really like you mean it.
Yeah.
But so we did
isolating your butt movement.
We did all sorts of variations of this. We did like the full twerking. We did twerking like with your up on your feet, but you're down on your elbows. We did it where you're like kind of like kneeling with your, on your elbows and your knees. We did it on a chair. It was kind of unbelievable the amount of variations.
An hour of twerking.
Just twerking. And I was so tired. At the end, Beth was like, I don't want to twerk anymore, Claire. And we had this routine that they taught us where it was like just a lot of butt isolations. It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good experience?
It was hilarious.
That sounds
hilarious.
It was
a great core workout, too.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. But it was interesting because, like, you know, you do CrossFit and you think, like, oh, I'm in such good shape. And then you go and do this other, like,
random
thing. And you're like, I am tired.
You know where I get that from is I get that experience when I go to spin classes with the moving bikes.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel so out of shape. Have you ever done that before?
I took a spin class in college.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I teach spin on stationary bikes, but these are the bikes that, I mean, they're stationary, but they're the ones that move side to side.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all core stabilization, and I die. I take a class that's 30 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
and by 15 minutes, I'm like, if this class was 45 minutes, I would walk out right now. It is so difficult, and it makes me feel so out of shape, so... Cheers to you if you do
It's hard.
Classes.
Well, and I think the thing about it that's hard is, like, in CrossFit, you're working hard, but you aren't really using, like, you very rarely are using the same exact muscle the whole time.
The whole time, yep.
Whereas, like, you know, when you're twerking, as it were.
Right.
Or it's whatever.
That booty.
It's like you're using the same muscle the whole time.
The whole time.
Right. And so, like, if that was all you did, mm-hmm. then you only would be strong in that one spot. But at the same time, like, when you go to do that, you're like, oh, my gosh, my legs are on
fire.
This
hurts so bad. Yeah. And I do that with yoga, too,
mm-hmm.
when I'll do yoga. I've found that, like, I know your bigger muscles get tired faster.
Yeah.
But I, you know, anytime we do, like, a warrior pose, anything with a lunge, I can maybe hold it for like 20 seconds before I'm like, this is,
and then
I look around and everyone's just holding it. I'm like, how are you guys not tired?
Right.
It's like, I feel so weak.
Yeah. I always am that person who's like quivering, right? It's like, are you shaking? I'm like, shh, go away. I don't want to talk to you about it.
Don't point it out.
Yeah. I'm real sensitive.
Yeah. So then let's switch gears from twerking to PRing.
Oh, yeah.
Did we finish this week? I don't even know. Did we finish?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. Our testing is over.
Testing is over.
And I didn't really pay attention to that. But I did PR my snatch.
Yeah.
And my clean and jerk.
What did you get?
105.
For your snatch?
For my snatch.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really scary. And I think the only reason that I did 105 was because Coach Mike was like, oh, it was so scary. So anytime I can do 95 pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I get to 100, I get nervous. And then 105, of course, I was like, no way. So I did 100 and I put the bar down and I was going to do it again. And Mike saw me and Coach Mike was like, why are you doing that again? Put more weight on. And I'm like, no. Because I was like, in my head, I'm like, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop for the morning. We're almost out of time. We got to start the watch.
Same thing as when you're squatting.
Exactly. It was like that whole like mind F. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stop this. And nope, put more weight on. And I tried two times, failed. And then the third time, it was not cute, but I did it. So that kind of built up my confidence a little bit. And then for clean and jerk, I did 125.
Nice.
Yeah. I was wanting to get to 130, but the same thing. I was like,
I PR'd my snatch by 5 pounds, so I was at 75.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, like, I would say that I'm counting it almost as a 10-pound PR because I had gotten 75 once.
Yeah.
But I hadn't been able to repeat it in a really mm-hmm. long time, and so I couldn't get 75 consistently. I could get 70 fairly consistently.
Yeah.
Not every time, but anyway. And so then I got 80, and I power snatched it, and it was, you know, it went well. And then I went for 85, and I was so focused on dropping under the bar that I forgot to hold the bar above my head after I dropped under it, and I dropped it on my head, basically. So, did you not read my physical?
I did, but I'm like waiting. I'm picturing it in my head, and I'm like hoping.
So scary.
Yeah.
So I dropped under it, and I had it above my head enough that I had to bail backwards.
Okay.
And I've never had to bail backwards in snatch before. And it just happened so quickly. Like, usually when you bail backwards, you kind of have a second to be like, okay, here's what's about to happen.
Right.
And this was like, I didn't even know what had happened until it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dropped it. I dove under it and rolled. And as I rolled, I kicked the bar as it was coming down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really bruise, but I have a little bruise right there. You can see where the bar landed.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish that I bruised because I think if I were like a normal human, my whole calf would be black and blue. Like, some girls get bruises just on their thighs from where they clean.
Yeah.
I literally don't remember the last time I had a bruise that like looked the way it felt.
That's funny. We talked about that.
Yeah. Remember? You would think that I would bruise like a peach because I'm like the whitest person.
Right.
But I just don't. So anyways, it landed, as I kind of rolled, it hit my right butt cheek and then my left calf, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I also rug burned my knees.
Oh, I see that. You got a little something there.
Yeah. And that's also a little bit left over from last time I fell, but I'm running.
The running. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was really scary and everyone in the gym like stopped and was like, oh, you know, cause, and it was like, it,
looked like it landed on you.
Yeah. And it was, and you know, like when you're a little kid and you fall and you start to cry just because it was scary.
Yes.
I almost did that. Like, mm-hmm. I almost started crying just because I was like, like, it was just so scary.
I recently did that when I was doing a clean and jerk a couple weeks ago and I hit my chin.
Yeah.
Scared the living crap out of me because when I was pulling it up, it just snapped my chin into my teeth. And it just, it's the like loud sound and, scared the crap out of me. And I yelled and TJ's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. But like, it was that same feeling where it just like, it was so scary that I wanted to cry, but I'm like, I'm actually fine. The sound really was more disturbing.
Right. Than the For me, like, it's like, you know, like I'm a little bit sore still, but like, I didn't hurt myself by any means, you know, like, which I'm really lucky. I don't know how I didn't land on my head. But that's the thing is like, I know I'm thinking like, how didn't it land on my head? And so now when I snatch, all I'm thinking about is this is going to land on my head.
Yeah.
And so I went back in today to try to like conquer my fear and it didn't even remotely come close. And I think it was a bad idea to go in the Saturday after a big week of heavy lifting and try to overcome something. So I'm going to keep working on it. But
yeah,
it was just like, it was scary. And then my clean and jerk, I was in the same thing. I didn't PR. Mm-hmm. I got 95. So my PR is 100, but it's typically been like 100 pounds of like ugly power clean. Mm-hmm. And my jerk is pretty good, but my clean is awful. But so I was able to get 95 in a comfortable squat clean, which is the first time that I've done that. So that was nice. But, and then I was just like, and then I was, you know, pulling 100 up to my, or 105 up to my chin and just bailing with it. And TJ was like, yeah, you're not.
Well, I totally thought of you because remember when you were taking pictures of me at the CrossFit Cuspis, the benchmark brawl where you're like, the bar's like right in front of your face. Because every time, especially for the snatch, it would be like right up to my eyes.
Yeah.
And Coach Mike's like, get under that bar.
Yeah, that's me too. And like, that's the thing is it's like, it's so frustrating because like, you know, you can see it. It's right there.
You can see it. And you're it's like, but now what do I do with it? Yeah. The same thing for the jerk. When I did clean and jerk, I love the clean and jerk because I think I've said this in the first episode. It like reminds me of a dance move. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah. And I feel like it's like jazz hands. Totally. And so
it's like superstar. It's exactly superstar. What it is.
Yeah. It totally is superstar. So that's, it's exactly why I love it.
I hope you guys the next time you jerk think that.
Think like, of that.
Superstar.
Yeah. Superstar. Mary Catherine, what's her name?
Gallagher.
Yep. And so my stance, so that was what I was working on, is my stance wasn't low enough, so I had to like get a little bit lower to get under it. And that's when I found that it was like helping. And then the other cue that I found really helpful is to just keep sticking my butt out. And TJ's like, I probably wouldn't tell that to anyone else but you because my hips don't open and close really well when I'm doing a clean. But that's helped me so much to get just flat and stay solid. And then Trina from Benchmark Brawl.
Your girl crush.
My girl crush told me the same thing when I was doing my cleans. So she was like, just stay on your heels and stay solid. And I was just like, So that's helped a ton with getting the cleans up is... there's like that tendency to waver and just kind of go back and forth. And then I think that throws you off. But anyway, it was a good week. I was pleasantly surprised. I think after a lot of the mentality that I was in or the bad state of mentality that I was
in. I went from good to bad and you went from bad to good.
Yeah.
I with my clean, the thing that I'm trying to work on is like now that I have, you know, I've spent months working on both my clean and my snatch dropping under the bar. And so now with my snatch, I still am working on that. But with my clean, now what I'm working on is, TJ calls it putting the brakes on when I am dropping so that I don't like totally bottom out. Because if you bottom out, you know, if I bottom out something heavy, then I fold.
Yeah.
And so now it's like I have to think about dropping, but not think about dropping all the, like, not all the way, but, like, as, you know, like, I have to, like, slow myself down and catch myself in the bottom rather than just letting myself hit the bottom.
Gotcha.
And so now I'm, like, well, this whole time I've been focusing on, like, hitting the bottom, and now I have to, like...
You have to put the brakes on a lot.
Yeah, reverse a little bit and be, like, nope, not all the way.
Yeah.
But, anyway. And then, what was the other, the mile?
the mile for time.
Did we talk about that?
We talked about that one. No. Mm-hmm. Yep, because Brandon did it in like 5 minutes.
Oh, right.
Minutes.
Yeah, that was silly.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a good week.
It was.
And when you guys are listening to this, I'll probably be jonesing for CrossFit class.
Yeah, it's like you're going to listen to this when it comes out.
I know. I'm like, I miss everybody so much.
So let's talk about your dog for a second.
Okay.
Are you getting a puppy or is it a
dog? No, it's going to be about 2 years old.
Okay.
And it will have gone through. So the organization I'm training with, they have puppy raisers who train puppies for a year. And then they're pretty much volunteers that train the puppies for a year, then send them to the organization headquarters where they complete like 6 to 8 months of advanced training where they are learning like, I don't know, I think it's like 50 some odd commands where every dog's going through like learning how to turn on a light switch, right. Opening doors, staying put if you put them in a stay, that type of thing. So if the dogs don't make that final training, the puppy raisers have the option of keeping that dog just as like their pet.
Yeah.
But otherwise it goes on to someone who needs it.
Yeah.
So the dog will be about 2 years old, and I've been looking at their Facebook page. I encourage everyone to like CCI.org on Facebook because they're such a great organization.
What does CCI stand for?
Canine Companions for Independence.
Right. Okay.
There's a ton of service dog assistance dog organizations, but this is just the agency I'm going through. But yeah, they have the cutest pictures on Mondays. They call it Puppy Mondays, and just have like the cutest pictures of puppies, and it's just makes you happy. What's not to love about that?
So will your dog be trained to like turn on lights and open doors?
Yes,
but you just won't.
But I probably won't use that command. It will be able to do it. So we could essentially like tell it to go turn on the lights.
That would be awesome because then you could be laying in bed and you'd be like, Spot, go turn the lights off. I wish we could teach Luna to do that stuff.
Oh, Luna.
Luna is simultaneously, like, the smartest and stupidest dog ever. She's a herding mutt, so like, she has all... And everyone's like, oh my gosh, that must be such a smart dog. But when we got her, she was 2 years old, almost two. She wasn't even housebroken.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a week to housebreak a dog.
Yeah.
And just her old owners had never, spent any time with her at all. And so I think she has like almost like a delay.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't ever trained when she was a puppy. And so she never like learned like how to learn commands.
Oh, okay.
And so like we took her to agility and, all that kind of stuff. And like she liked it, but she never really like super caught on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. She just is like, sometimes she just looks at me and I'm like, is there anything going on in your brain right now?
She's so cute.
She's so
There's
cute.
A lot
she's
going
also
on in her brain.
Really dumb sometimes.
Yeah. I love, we had a CrossFit J party probably about a month ago, and you guys brought Luna. Mm-hmm. And I remember, what did you say about children? She wants to herd them.
She wants to herd the children. Yeah.
Did you say she doesn't like children or she just doesn't? Because I remember you said something about like being around kids, but you're like, oh, she just wants to herd them.
Yeah, it's not that she doesn't like the kids. And herd with a D, by the way, not like hurt.
Yeah.
But
thank you for that clarification.
Because it's not that she doesn't like kids, it's just that, like, she doesn't really know what to do. And this is the same with adults.
Yeah.
The reason that she doesn't do super well around kids is because they are always running around yelling.
Yeah.
So, like, if humans are doing, because children are not humans, if adults are running around doing that, like, she'll, try to get them to. But since, you're an adult, you kind of understand what's going on.
Sure.
But so with the kids, when she starts to try to round them up, they get scared. And so then that makes her nervous.
Oh.
And so then everything just, like, kind of goes downhill from there.
Yeah. And she was, like, stuffed herself in a corner.
Yeah. So that's her other thing is that she'll get in the corner so that she can see the whole room.
Yeah.
And so that nothing's going on behind her.
Yeah. It was so funny.
It's really odd. She's so hilarious.
So when I go, she'll have a new friend. Yeah. When I go to California, the graduation date is on November, I think it's Friday, November 8th, I think is the date. And the community actually comes. Open to the community. So anyone in Oceanside, if you guys want to come watch.
Oh my gosh, I should tell my mom.
You should. It's open to the community.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they invite everyone.
That would be
like,
so,
the local news comes by and films it. So
that's fun.
You guys, I'll be in San Diego, in the Oceanside area for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
suggestions
about it. You have to go to offshore CrossFit at least once.
Yeah,
if you
I think
can get
I will
there.
Be able to. So it sounds like I'll have like evenings off, so I'll probably like work out. And
I mean, and Carlsbad is like probably, I don't know where you are in Oceanside, but it's probably like 15 to 25 minutes, not even, because Carlsbad is north San Diego. So it's like probably 15 to 20 minutes, depending on where you are in Oceanside. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe one or two exits south on the 5.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm right off the 5. And then I stayed by Legoland. I do remember that. My hotel was, like, near Legoland.
It is now?
No, that's where I was staying. Like, when I did, sorry. When I did, I had to fly out there for an interview.
Oh, so that's okay. That's much further north. That's, like, by in LA almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't Legoland. I could have sworn.
Maybe you just saw exit signs for it. Anyway.
Anyway, like, I stayed by some crazy, huge kid park. And then, yeah, the graduation is going to be a huge deal. Scott's going to fly out for that. And then we get to fly home with the dog. I'm just so excited. I can't
even. I'm so excited for you to have a dog.
Can't believe it's here.
Dogs are the best.
And then when you guys listen to this, I'll
I wonder how your cats are going to do.
I know. I have a really mean cat and then I have a really nice cat. I'm assuming the mean cat will just kind of be mad at us for a few weeks, but she'll get over it. Because we had her first, and then we got Lua, who's, like, the nice cat who tries to get in all of our videos when we do videos for you guys. And Lua was, like, you know, she loves everyone. So our theory is if the mean cat got used to the nice cat, the mean cat will also get used to a dog.
That's fair.
And the dog's not going to chase him.
Right.
Because it will be trained. So, super excited, you guys. So when this is airing, I'll be done with training. Like, the next day will be graduation. Yeah. It's so weird to think about that. Yeah. Future talk.
I think it's crazy that you got there for 2 weeks. Like, when we got Luna back from her boot camp, the guy came and spent, like, an afternoon with us.
Yeah.
And that's it. Anyway.
Well, this is going to... Yeah, I think it's... I mean, it's because it's going to be in a work environment.
That's true. You have a lot more.
It's
going to
be working with clients and kids and all that stuff.
That'll be so fun.
Okay, so let's move on and finish with some questions. Oh, you guys posted a bunch of questions. We put a call out. This will be at the time you're listening to this a couple weeks ago before I leave. So we could...
Have some topics. It's hard to come up with three podcasts in a week.
Yeah, we've recorded three in a week. You guys should be so impressed. And this is all for you, so we don't miss a week. So
yes.
It's all for you guys. We had an interesting question come up, and let me see if I can find it here. Kelsey wrote about thoughts about attitude of some people having paleo zone being orthorexic or too restrictive. And so, Claire, I know you have some
orthorexic
thoughts.
Orthorexic really quick.
Yeah. I know you had some thoughts about this, and you kind of wrote about it too, I think. Let's see if you wrote... I think you wrote a response, but...
Let's see what orthorexic.
Oh, you said, I never heard the word orthorexic before, but when I started Zone, that concern was brought up to me a few times. Thanks for the idea.
So orthorexia is a proposed eating disorder or mental disorder characterized by an extreme or excessive preoccupation with avoiding foods perceived to be unhealthful. So,
can you read that again? Sorry.
Basically, like, you're obsessed with avoiding unhealthy foods.
Obsessed with avoiding unhealthy foods.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, one thing when I started Zone that somebody brought up to me, which I had not thought of, but I thought was really interesting and did experience this a little bit, was that when you are so involved with weighing and measuring your food, if you have even, like, a slight tendency towards, like, obsessive compulsive or towards, you know, any sort of, like, really, I would say if you have any sort of, like, anxiety-based... mental whatever, which, as we all know, I do, that weighing and measuring your food can not quickly, but if you aren't careful with it, it can turn into sort of like disordered thinking.
Right.
Because it becomes this thing that you like obsess over and that you like cling to.
Right.
And it becomes this sort of like this, you know, beyond being just a habit, it becomes like an obsession. And I did experience that a little bit in the sense that when I would be faced with a situation where I couldn't zone, like if we were out to dinner or like when we did a month of strict zone last January.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we did in the middle of that month, we flew to Florida for my grandmother's 90th birthday party. So I'm not, you know, like my grandma hands me a cupcake on her 90th birthday party. I'm not going to be like, sorry, grandma, I'm paleo.
Yeah.
You know?
But
I remember like when we were there, I had it, you know, was easy for me to let it go, but at first I was definitely like really worried about it. And I found myself, thinking about it a lot outside of mealtimes, which also sort of a red flag for me. Like I shouldn't be thinking about this all day. It should just be like, you know, it's something obviously I'm thinking about at the time.
Right.
I would say that if you are concerned about that happening, the biggest thing that was good for me was like when we started doing Zone, we did a couple weeks of strict and then kind of just went to like zone-ish where we were thinking, you know, like in terms of having a carb, a protein, and a fat at every meal.
Right.
But not in terms of like weighing and measuring.
Weighing it and measuring, yeah.
So if you are worried about that, I would say if you are, but you want to do zone, I would potentially start with, and I actually tell this to everyone who asks me how to start zone, is just start by zoning one meal a day. Don't go crazy because, first of all, it's exhausting to just, like, go cold, you know, go cold.
I can imagine. I think that would be so hard to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you start just doing, like,
a good idea.
One meal a day, like, dinner where you have, like, the most time to prepare
right.
it. And then it kind of gives you this feeling of, like, okay, I can do this. Like, this isn't so hard.
Yeah.
And, but so if you... If you think that you might get to a point where you will become obsessed with it, then maybe only do one meal a day. And I think that will keep you from getting into that habit of like worrying about it all the time. And it all, but I think it also will give you enough of a benchmark that you'll be able to feel like, okay, you know, like I am getting something out of this.
Mm-hmm. And I think Julie, when we had Julie Bauer on from Paleo MG, she mentioned doing that too and how it was really good information once you have it
totally.
And you kind of learn to balance your meals. Like that's a really good thing to just have with you in your mind.
Yeah.
But as far as like weighing and being really strict about it.
Right.
I
Unless you're
you.
Matt Chan.
Right.
You really don't need
to. Really don't need to.
And I think that like we'll do, you know, occasionally still like we'll have like a couple days in there. Like we'll have a weekend where we zone everything just to kind of reset our mentality. Of, like this is what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely have heard of that being an issue. And I definitely think that, I mean, I could totally see how that would happen.
That's why I don't do it.
Really?
Yeah. Because I know myself well enough. And because of my eating disordered history, mm-hmm. My mind just goes googly thinking about it. So I just avoid it. But it's good information to have. So it's like the paleo stuff is great because it's definitely like shifted my mind of like how to eat and what to eat. But like the weighing and the zoning... I steer clear from that.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, like, if you are thinking about doing zone in terms of your performance, I think that the biggest thing that I learned was just that I wasn't getting, like, you know, for me, like, I would eat paleo, and I've used this example before, but, like, I would eat, you know, I would tell myself I was eating paleo, but really all I had that day was, like, 4 bananas. You know, and it's like, I wasn't eating enough.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I was trying to intentionally restrict my eating, but like, I just get busy. I'm not that hungry of a person.
Yeah.
If I don't try to eat and like really think about it, then I'm just not going to.
Sure.
And so I get to the end of the day and it'd be like, today I had 4 bananas and a jar of almond butter.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yes, technically I ate paleo, but like but I'm not giving my body what it needs.
It's like the same thing of like a cupcake vegan who, you know, yeah, you're vegan, but you're just eating crap. So
Or like you can eat gluten-free and just be eating like the gluten-free. You can, you know, you still eating like Czech cereal or whatever.
Right, right.
So I think that that's like a good place to start in terms of like if you want to start down that path but are worried about whether or not it's going to take over your life.
Yeah, and I think too is just find out what the mission is and what your purpose is. And if it's something that you really know yourself well enough that that's really the only way that you can get on track with a diet and a lifestyle,
that's how it is
great.
For us. It's like for me in my, just like the way that I think, it's kind of all or nothing. It's like,
yes.
I know what I'm doing. Like I know that I need to eat a certain way, but if I'm not intentionally like, you know, like in a challenge or if I'm not intentionally, you know, whatever, eating on a plan, then I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard for me. I mean, like, I don't eat crap anymore.
No, right.
But I don't eat strict all the time by any means unless I'm really, like, trying to go out of my way.
Yeah.
We actually, I say we, I just started, joined Eat to Perform.
Oh, I remember, I saw you posted about that.
Yeah, and so Eat to Perform, I was kind of confused. I'm still a little bit confused about what it is. Because they market it as being, they just need a new internet marketer, which, by the way, that's what I do.
That could be you. Yeah.
And so, but because, like, I know what they need, it's, like, so painful for me to look at their site.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, so they give you this ebook, and the ebook, to be frank, is not that helpful. It, like, kind of explains, their two big things are metabolic flexibility and carb backloading.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of explains what those things are, but, like, not super well.
Who does Eat to Perform? Who puts this on? Who
is it? It's some nutritionist PhD guy.
Okay.
I forget his name.
So what's the basis of it? What's the purpose of it?
So the idea is that, like, it's a way to, it's basically, like, another way of viewing the same way that, like, bodybuilders eat where, like, they really structure their meals around their workouts. You know, it's like, we're like Paleo and Whole 30 and even Zone.
Yeah.
Are like, here's what you eat, here's how much you eat, but like when you eat it is not that important.
Okay.
And I mean, Whole 30 does have some like when, you know, like fasting, sure, intermittent fasting and, yeah, like that kind of thing. But,
So this is more of like more timing like of when you should eat it.
Timing of when you should eat it, yeah, versus when you, like based on when you work out.
Sure.
So they say like, okay, you know, say you're supposed to have, you know, 300 grams of carbs a day. Well, you know, ideally you would like 250 of those would be grouped around your workout, whether it's, you know, 150 before and 100 after or whatever. Yeah. And so that will give your body the best chance to burn carbs during your workout, which, okay, will be a fast, you know, an easy source of energy, but then not have any carbs left the rest of the day, so it has to burn fat the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea.
Yeah. Brendan Brazier, who's my vegan guru that I've been following just because I was vegan for a long time,
right,
talked a lot about that as well. And I really liked that about his Vega Sport line, because, mm-hmm, he talked a lot about when you should eat it based on your athletic abilities and your,
yeah,
athletic goals, and like if you're a pro, and I mean, you don't need every single one of his products if you're not going to be doing like a marathon or anything,
right,
like that,
right.
But that's what I appreciated about that too, is just it does make a difference if you're doing some pretty intense workouts.
Yeah, and like I had never really looked into that before, and so I'm interested to see what this happens. I'm not,
yeah,
I'm like still kind of confused.
So wait, so, you signed up for it?
Yeah, it's $50 for,
oh, okay,
I think it's $50 just period. I don't, oh, know if it's like it's $50 or like four payments of $20.
Okay.
And you,
and what do you get?
So you get this ebook, which like I said is like somewhat helpful.
Yeah.
Because it kind of explains like that carb loading thing I just talked about. And then,
yeah,
it also explains his thing is it's called MetFlex or metabolic flexibility.
Yeah.
Where you eat a different amount of macros, like, you know, carbs, fats, protein,
mm-hmm,
on your training days and on your rest days, and you like say that you're gonna work out the next morning, then you eat at night and blah blah blah. So it like just kind of explains a little bit about that schedule, but,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't go into super good detail about it, and to be honest, he's not a very good writer, and so it was like kind of hard to read, and I was really,
sure,
glad I when it was over.
Yeah.
And then they have all these webinars which you get access to, although I have been I signed up on their thing without like, I signed up for their mailing list without buying the product, and I still got notifications for the webinars. So I don't know whether or not those are just supposed to be for customers and I ended up on the wrong email list.
Huh. It doesn't sound very organized,
no,
yet. Well, let us know how it's going.
And then the big thing, though, is the forums. So you go in and you ask a question, and they have, like, four or five moderators who are, you know, personal trainers and nutritionists and blah, blah, blah. And so you go in and you say, you know, like, I'm... Like, for example, my big goal, so right now I'm 123 pounds and 21% body fat.
Uh-huh.
What I would like to be, and I just sort of arbitrarily picked these numbers, but it sounds nice, is 130 pounds with 18% body fat. So what that basically translates into is 10 pounds of lean mass from where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And which would, for me and my body, is a lot.
Yeah.
And so...
Because you mentioned what it's hard for you to...
It's really hard for me. Well, it's not only is it hard for me... It's just hard for me to eat enough to support that kind of mass gain.
Yeah.
And so, like, let alone, you know, doing the exercises and doing the right kind of training to gain that kind of mass.
Right.
It's hard for me to get that much food.
Yeah.
So,
What are your goals with that? Like, what do you want?
I just want to be able to lift more weight.
Okay.
And I feel like it's going to be hard for me to get, you know, it's like, a lot of it for me still is technique. But, like, you know, when you're looking at, like, back squat, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's like, I feel like I'm really... starting to stall out, because
plateau
just because I'm not able to put on more muscle.
Okay.
And so that's really what I want to,
okay,
be able to do, is like have support my weightlifting with more mass,
getting stronger with that. Okay.
Right.
All right. Fair enough.
So that's my, anyway, so I, you go onto the forum and, you know, I say like, hey, here's my goal, here's,
yeah,
what I'm currently doing, and someone comes on and says, okay, here's what I think you should be eating. You know, like, try this, and this, and, like, tell, you know, do it for 2 weeks and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a little bit coaching,
yeah,
in that sense, which is nice, but...
You seek that out all the time. See, this is where we're so different, and I think it's a good thing, because I think a lot of people are different in these ways, but, mm-hmm, I just... The diet stuff for me is just... I don't have an interest... I'm interested in eating real food and eating healthy food.
Yeah, but you also gained 7 pounds of lean mass just by switching to paleo.
I know, but it's like I don't ever get too in, and I think, again, it's just because of my history of disorders. But I say that like I was so messed up. I have like a history of disorders. Yeah. And but I think that's where it comes from. It's like I just want to eat well. I don't really want to count calories. I don't want to count calories. I don't want to zone or weigh my food and that type of thing because I just want to eat healthy. I want to eat healthy food. I want to eat real food.
Yeah.
And I'm the type of person where, you know, I have a pretty good gauge of eating when I'm hungry and eating and stopping when I'm full type of thing. So I've never had an issue of like overeating, more or less undereating, I guess would be probably the bigger issue. It's just interesting because like as you talk about all this stuff, I kind of cringe. Because I'm I can't, there's too much information and I just want to eat food.
See, that's the thing is, like, I don't
I know, like, that's and, how, like, that's we're so different.
Bizarre, because it's not some, you know, it's not, I don't make a choice to not eat. Like, I don't, like, intentionally restrict myself.
Right.
Which is, like, you know, I think, you know, when I say I don't eat, you know, like, I think that people are quick to say, like, well, you must have a
eating disorder. Yeah, your belief, like, when you're saying you don't eat, the thing that's going through your mind is you forgot.
Yeah.
For me, not eating is my mindset goes to the place of I shouldn't be eating.
Yeah, see, that's
so not, I shouldn't eat that. I should stay away from that.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know how, like, I read this quote in middle school, which I still love, and it said, it takes a special kind of stupid to forget to eat. And, like, that's how I am. And I just don't understand. Like, you know, you
were, like, the most far from stupid.
Well, but you know what I mean. It's, like, what kind of a person is, like, huh, this is, like, the number one survival instinct.
But you're, like, my husband. That's how Scott is. Scott just is, like, oh, I guess I haven't eaten since yesterday.
Yeah, and I'm, like, and it's just, like, you know, I have a million other things going on through my head. And I get hungry, and it's, like, 3 o'clock, and I'm, like, oh, yeah, food. Mm-hmm. So there's
a type of people like that who have the relationship with food is that it's just, oh, I need to eat, versus people like me who've developed a more, I wouldn't say unhealthy, it's just, it's been a journey of going through healthy and unhealthy relationships with food, where you've been like, your relationship with food is such that it is good or bad.
Yeah.
And so, versus it's just something in your life that you need to fuel yourself and keep yourself healthy.
Right. And I think... So, that's why I get more, I'm more interested in, like, the metrics of it. Because for me, then it, like, becomes this kind of, like, fun game.
Yeah.
Where I'm, like, can I remember to eat this? And also, like, if I have a structure to follow, then I will eat.
Yes. Which I think that's awesome that you do that. Because, there's types of people like you who can do that and just be like, and this is gonna help me remember to eat.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it just, like, it makes me cringe. And it would take over my life. And I would just go to deep, dark places. And you'd probably never see me again.
and like, then you just, like, I'd be just like, have to listen to me on the podcast.
Hiding in a closet somewhere. Or, like, anyway. So,
do you have any more questions?
No, I think that was the main one because we only have a few minutes left. There was a question that someone wrote on our blog. I think it was Roxanne who wrote about doing CrossFit on a budget.
I think we've
talked about this on and off before. I wanted to share with her because I do CrossFit at CrossFit J 3 times a week. And then I also have access to my work gym for days when I just want to do like a quick WOD, and I'll just do it by myself or I'll do it with a couple people. But her question too was, you know, kind of being motivated. And if you don't have enough, I guess if you're not working out with people, you kind of tend to lose motivation. And she has this idea that she didn't do enough. Like if she's just working out by herself, that she, you know, she's gauging her performance on whether or not she's sore.
Right.
And feeling like she's not doing enough and she's kind of hitting a plateau with weight and yada, yada, yada. So the first question of doing CrossFit on a budget, and I'm not sure if that was her question, but I know someone did ask that question too, of, you know, for me, I kind of go back and forth of bumping up the CrossFit J membership to do unlimited, but for me, it's just balancing out time with, I do like to run, I do like to do yoga, but then sometimes I'll just do CrossFit in my work gym. Now, I notice a huge difference when I do CrossFit at my work gym because I have zero motivation if no one's working out with me. So what I'll do, and it's, more or less it's fine in my head because I'm like, I'm still working out. I just probably am not going as hard as I would if I was in a CrossFit class. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of have to balance that for yourself. Because for me, if I need motivation, I'll like ask around my work and be like, hey, can someone work out with me tonight? Or anyone interested? Most of the time someone is interested. But if I'm doing it by myself, I will notice I don't use a timer. So I don't time myself and I just do the workout as I feel like it. So I'll do like, you know, I think I did Barbara the other day where I was just like, you know, squats and push-ups and pull-ups. And I just did it like no time. I did it probably pretty slow, but I still did it. And so that was the thing where I'm like, yeah, I probably could have worked a lot harder, but I just know myself that when I'm alone, I don't have as much motivation. Totally. So, and then also like, I mean, I guess on a budget too, for me, that's doesn't cost me anything to do that at my work gym. So, you know, it saves money there, but I think people do have, you know, home gyms and they work out in their garage. And I think that's all fine and good. I think it has to do more with what's going to motivate you and what's going to push you to be better. And for me personally, I need people around me. I need something to be accountable to.
Yeah. Well, we actually were talking about that last night at CrossFit. We were talking about one of the members was saying that he's trying to get his wife to join, but that like she would just quit in the middle of a water and be like, nope, I'm done. And TJ was like, you know, people say that, but like when you are there and you have everyone else around you, you just don't quit. Yeah. Like you don't. And you know, it's like whether it's the peer pressure or you just don't want, you know. And he said that sure. He's only ever had one lady quit in the middle of a WOD, but she was by herself. No one else was there.
Oh, interesting.
And it was like, I could totally see that. And that is almost the point to me of CrossFit is that you don't have to suffer alone. And that's why so many people stick with it.
Yeah, for sure. I think to each his own. I think it's probably pretty individual.
But I think that like physically doing CrossFit on your own is totally possible.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, like I think that the CrossFit, you know, mothership kind of, you know, wants you to feel like, and also to be fair, I think that powerlifting and the Olympic lifting, you should not be doing without a coach.
Absolutely.
You should not teach yourself how to clean and jerk. You should not teach yourself how to do any of that stuff.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, in terms of like, I mean like even like push-ups and pull-ups can be dangerous.
Yeah,
like squats,
for sure.
Air squats, like all this stuff can be dangerous if you don't know what
ring
you're
dips,
doing.
You could tear up. Oh, I think so many people have torn like pectoral muscles doing ring dips.
Yeah, well, and also like, you know, if you think about what you used to do as a squat before you started CrossFit,
it's changed.
In that sense, I would really suggest, you know, at least taking an elements class or something
for sure
to get the foundational movements
before you start doing it on your own.
Yeah, or you know, go to YouTube, really do a lot of research, like really get some good foundational.
Yeah,
but
that's a really good point. I would totally agree with that. So.
Okay, before we're running out, but somebody left this comment like a week ago and I have to read it.
Okay.
It's
from is it a comment on our iTunes?
On our iTunes, yeah. So we've gotten a lot of new comments lately and
thank
we love
you.
Them.
Please,
you guys are the
best. Leave us reviews. We love your feedback
and we
it
love
helps
to
us
read
be
them.
Better. Yes.
So this one is called Addictive by Groove Mechanic. It says, I came across Girls Gone WOD when looking for other CrossFit podcasts to listen to. It quickly became one of my favorite podcasts of any type, and I eagerly await every new episode. The hosts have a very natural rapport and are very funny. They crack me up. Yes, there's a lot of girl talk. I have a lot of Lululemon knowledge now. And as a guy, I was worried at first. But I have to say I like it just as much, if not better, than the CrossFit talk. If you want to hear an honest, funny, smart conversation about CrossFit by two people who love it and do it, then you can't go wrong.
Aww.
I just thought that one because it was like we have male listeners,
yeah.
But they don't speak up super often, other than Chris Garofoli, who, if you're listening, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
He sent me a video. Oh my gosh, he's so funny. He sent me a video yesterday. I forgot to forward it to you, and it was like when I did the CrossFit Open, he judged me.
Oh gosh.
And he was my judge, and he afterwards we had this joke about no rep because he was just like no rep like.
Like the way
like you're like this, like, yeah, you're like the strict no rep judge. And I need to find the video. I had a video at one point where I made him do like a no rep. It was almost like a dance to no rep. So yeah, he sent me a no rep dance yesterday, and it was really funny. And he's like our super fan along with his wife. So hi guys. And but men, hello. Yeah.
We love that
you listen.
We thought about potentially putting out a shirt
for guys. Yeah.
For guys.
Yeah.
So.
If you guys want one, you know, you just have to let us know.
Let us know. It could happen.
Yeah. So next episode, we'll be back to our regular in the moment timing, I guess. Yes. Right now, we're recording 2 weeks in advance, so it might seem a little odd or not. you never know. But yeah, next time we record, we'll be with a new family member.
Maybe a dog in the room.
New family member. I can't. Yeah, it's awesome. Gonna. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So thanks again, you guys.
Yeah, and have a good week.
Have a great week.
Bye.